Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, my brother, my Savior, my advocate, my attorney, my Lord and my God. Father, I thank you for what Jesus did when he came to this earth. I thank you, Lord, for the word. I ask you, Father, now as the word goes out, that you'll bless these words, that you'll use them mightily to bring many souls into the kingdom, to set people free, and show them how to get their prayers answered. I praise you and thank you now as the word goes out. And Satan, I rebuke you, and I command you to get your hands off of every man, woman, boy, and girl that'll be listening to the word of God that I teach today. May you not steal a word out of anybody's mind or heart today, Satan. I rebuke you and command you to leave in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I ask you to take the mighty word of the living God and ask you to quicken it to everyone's heart and use it mightily today to bring great glory and honor to the precious name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. This week I'm going to do a little bit more teaching or talking about this mysterious thing about prayer. I've come to realize that it took me most of my life to learn how to pray and to pray where I could get my prayers answered, where I could see the Lord do great and mighty things. But still, even at that, I feel greatly privileged for the King to have revealed these things to me. Because I know many, many men and women that's even older than I am that never learned how to pray and see direct results from their prayer. Now, you know, when you read the Word of God, especially when you read a scripture like Ezekiel 22:31, this mystery of prayer is absolutely amazing because so few people pray. Now then, in Ezekiel 22:30 and 31. Now, this was during a time of national apostasy, and God said, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, and their own way have a recompense upon their heads." Now, in this scripture we just read here, we see God seeking to avoid exercising just and deserved judgment. He himself longs to spare the nation, but strangely enough here, he is helpless without a man, without an intercessor. Now, if no one will intercede, God cannot withhold judgment. Why should he be dependent upon the prayers of a man to defend the nation from the judgment to which he himself wishes to withhold? Now, God is the almighty and supreme sovereign of the universe. He is himself the ultimate judge, jury, and executive and enforcement authority. Or is he? Think about that. If he longed to withhold judgment against his people, if he yearned to show mercy, why did he not exercise his supreme sovereignty and do so, regardless of the prayers or lack of prayers of any man? Moreover, since God's will is supreme in all things, when he wills or plans certain divine purposes, such as the salvation of a soul or revival in a specific area, why doesn't he just arbitrarily go over our heads and carry out his will? Why did he set up a system which made him dependent upon a man? Now, when you stop and think about this, this is a very baffling mystery. In fact, I've talked to lots of people, and I know lots of people don't believe what I'm going to teach you in the next few days on this program. But, you know, it looks like that God can do nothing except in answer to a prayer, and not only just a prayer, but a prayer of faith of a redeemed, born again man or woman of the King of the universe. He will do nothing in the realm of human redemption since its inception outside of the scheme of prayer and intercession. And it is indicated, you know, that here that God is absolutely, he is doing everything he can to invite us to prayer and to pray. He not only invites us to pray, he entreats us to pray. He urges us. He even begs us to exercise that privilege. You know, the Word of God in Matthew 7, there is some absolutely all over this book. When you read these things, you'll find scriptures like this. Ask. I ask you to ask. Seek. Seek. Knock. And I urge you to knock. Evidently, God can do nothing without our prayers. He not only invites and exhorts us to pray, he also commands us to pray. He says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now that's Matthew 9:38. Have you ever stopped to think? In fact, before I learned that, I used to pray for God to do something to save someone. And I never saw anybody get saved. Finally, one day, I began to understand that the only reason people are lost is because 2 Corinthians 4:4 says if there's any lost, they're lost because the God of this world, which is Satan, has blinded their mind to the gospel. When I learned that people are lost because the God of this world, which is Satan, has blinded their mind to the gospel, I started taking authority over the devil and his demons and commanding them on behalf of Luke 10:19-20 to leave these people. And then after I have commanded Satan in the name of Jesus to withdraw his demons of doubt and unbelief from a particular person that I had met that was lost and demand them to leave, then I would take this magnificent scripture in Matthew 9:38. And after I had commanded the demons of doubt and unbelief to leave that person, then I would ask the Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus to send the Holy Spirit to so-and-so and begin to convict them of sin and draw them into the kingdom of God. And then I would do what he said here we just read out of scripture in Matthew 9:38, that the Lord would send the laborers into the harvest to bring these people in. Now then, I realize here that the harvest is his and the labors are his. And then why should he stand helplessly by while urging men to pray reapers into the fields? Why does he send forth laborers only in answer to the prayers of the redeemed? That's kind of amazing, isn't it? But until you learn this and begin to believe this and begin to do it God's way, you'll never see very many people saved. But when you begin to do it like God says, you will find out that the fundamental importance of this scheme of prayer in God's economy is further emphasized by God's binding himself unequivocally to answer. Now, God promises to answer prayer, and they are so sweeping and categorical over such a broad spectrum as to constitute a blank check. In other words, it's just amazing as I begin to read these scriptures, I begin to see in many places in the Word of God where the Lord himself had literally given us a blank check. In other words, it's kind of like when Jesus went back to the third heaven after his death, burial, and resurrection. He walked up to the safety deposit boxes of all the blessings in heaven. He put his key in and turned it. And then he told his father, he said, now, Father, I gave unto my church the keys of the kingdom, and whatever they bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever they loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So since he opened his side of the box, when we find the key to salvation and we put our box, our key in our box by faith and turn the key for salvation, we get born again. And that's how simple it is. If you never find it, it was a free gift. If nobody prays for you, and nobody kicks the devil out of you, then you die and go to hell and spend eternity with the devil. Now, God has absolutely bound himself on this earth to the prayers of faith of his saints. If we don't pray, nothing's going to happen. Now then, it is as though God has handed us his scepter and begged us to use it. Now here are some more examples. Let me quote some of these scriptures that I know here. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, that's written in John 14, 13, and 14. Now, when I got a hold on these two verses, I might just tell you, just a few months ago, my little granddaughter, which was laying in the hospital with her face looked like it had been run through a meat grinder after an automobile accident. It was cut and lacerated and bruised all over. I mean, it was terrible. I took those two promises in John 14, 13, and 14, where the Lord clearly says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I would lay my hands over her face every day, and I would quote that magnificent verse to the king, and then I would ask him to completely restore her face without a single mark or a scar, and make her face completely, perfectly beautiful, just like it was before the wreck. And in 2 weeks' time, many times a day, I did this many times a day, morning, noon, afternoon, night, many times a day, I quoted that verse to the king, those two verses. And within 2 weeks' time, my granddaughter did not have a mark or a scar on her beautiful little face. And she is fully recovered. It is absolutely, wonderfully, amazing, and awesome what God will do for you if you will just believe His Word. I think it's time the church started believing His Word and started acting upon God's Word so we could see Him do these great and mighty and awesome things for us, because He just wants us. He is asking us to pray or use His name so He can do these mighty things. Now, I would like to invite you to write me, the Living Savior Ministries, at Post Office Box 35, Justin, Texas, 76247. Or you can call me for audio and video tapes, 940-242-2106. Or you can find us on the web, and where all the events where we're going to be teaching, and we're out of town or somewhere almost every weekend, teaching the Word of God, or sometimes even during the week. But all of those events, you can find us at www.tlsm.org. And there you can get our email. And so, we would also invite you to our church, the Living Savior Church, in North Dallas at 10921 Shady Trail. And we start every Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Now that's 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. We start at 2 p.m. Come and expecting a miracle from our Lord. He is a great and mighty King.